Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As soon as you are. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and happy Saturday, sunny day in the nation's 11th largest city, as I always like to say. Welcome to the Texas Insider Show here on Talk 1370, The Right Choice, where we are rocking and rolling with Casey Johns behind the glass producing the show this week. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we produce and publish and post about 10 to 15 articles every day, so you can look when you want, how you want, where you want, and see what's going on in Texas and national politics. We know you get enough of opinionating and other people's thoughts being shoved down your throats and into your ear sets, as is the case these days. So all we do is take pretty much the quotes from the politician, their press releases, and put a little headline on it and give you a chance to look at it when and how you want. But be sure, like I said, and check us out at texasinsider.org. And also, if you want to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, just Texas Insider. We gained about about 1,500 new Facebook followers in the last week, which is interesting. And it's all because we've been blessed with, if you want to look at it that way, blessed and focused on and having to think about the border shutdown, the wall, but most importantly, right, Lynn Woolley, who's here in the studio today and partnering with us, most of all because of all the Democrats who are deciding to run for president in 2 years. How are you doing today, Lynn?
I'm doing great, Jim, and they are coming out of the woodwork. We've got a couple of Texans looking at it, not only Joaquin Castro, but also Beto O'Rourke, who kind of has come unglued in the last couple of weeks with this dental thing that he did.
Oh, my gosh, did you see that the other day?
It was bizarre. And Joaquin Castro came out sounding like he wanted to run to the left of Elizabeth Warren, which I never thought was possible. But every social thing, every liberal Democrat idea that's ever been conceived, he's for doubling it and his forehead in a great deal of everything that he does. Is I don't know. It's just one of those things where the Democrat Party isn't really, Jim, what it was even 5 years ago.
And I got to correct you, Lynn. It's not Joaquin. It's Julian Castro.
Oh, that's Julia, yeah.
Running. We're going to be struggling with that problem. But boy, howdy, what a week here with, as we're talking about there, additional Democrats getting into the race. And it's kind of what you're referring to there, Lynn. It is interesting how people stinking declare for higher office these days anymore. I mean, first of all, it's barely the beginning of the congressional calendar here. We mm-hmm. are the 14th and 13th and 16th of January, and at the state legislature, we've got the state legislature coming back in last week with the big inauguration of Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. We should mention that and congratulate them and all the state house office holders. But the way you declare for president anymore, you have to write a book, you have to have a press consultant have laid the groundwork for you with, you know, repeatedly increasing strident comments and the like, because as we'll get into later in the show, we had Kirsten Gillibrand from New York, we'll talk about, was getting ready for it during the Al Franken and the Judge Kavanaugh hearings for Supreme Court a couple months ago, and then you've got the shutdown continuing to go on, and we got to talk about that here in a little bit, Lynn, because the president's going to be on the tube this afternoon making some announcement. And finally, you know, let the discussions begin. Here we are into 2 to 3 weeks, and as we've talked about before, Lynn, a government shutdown is not a big bugaboo that, you know, the sock puppet media, as I call them, parroting what the left wants to have parroted, as they are the press department of the Democrat Party. But it's not a government shutdown is not necessarily something that's unusual. It's a power that's been granted to the president by Congress as a tool to get Congress to do something or threaten or leverage or, you know, use as an inflection point to get Congress to do something. And what do you think the president's going to be saying here this afternoon? I guess you've been listening, and what's our thoughts finally here? These guys may come to the table, you think?
Well, I don't know. It's all rumor at this point, or just speculation on the part of the cable networks. If I were Trump, I would take the most sympathetic part of the illegal immigrant population, which is the so-called dreamers, those people who were supposedly brought over here by their parents when they were too young to make any decisions on their own. I am among those people that would support a reasonable, sensible, and logical one-time fix, but not if it becomes an immigration magnet.
Yeah, I mean, dreamers are people who have been going to high school, who came here before they were 16, who have been attempting to get citizenship. You know, there is a formal definition of that, and it's all positive, becoming more American citizen and pro-U.S. like. So I'm sorry to interrupt you. Keep going there.
Sure, and they mostly speak English, and they've never lived in Mexico or any other country, and so on and so forth. The only danger in this is that it becomes a magnet for more of the same type of thing. But if Trump can come up with something that would exchange a permanent DACA fix in return for the $5.7 billion, because Pelosi and Schumer have advocated that and clamored for it for years and years and years, and then they turn around and tell him no, that makes them the people that are prolonging this government shutdown, and not Trump, because Trump has reasonably come up with a compromise, and they failed to take it. So what? Well, I have to ask you, what would you do if you were controlling the strings of Pelosi and Schumer, and Trump comes up with this deal? I think it'd be hard for him to turn it down.
Well, I tell you, it's been fascinating. The Austin American Statesman, a lot of the newspapers this week, the Wall Street Journal, every day has a different front page headline, and the tit for tat. And did you notice, Lynn? It's like some of these national media stars on cable television, they didn't even know how to describe what words they could come up with to you know, pin on Nancy Pelosi saying that she's not going to allow Donald Trump to come give his State of the Union, for Pete's sakes. And then Donald Trump says he's not going to allow Nancy Pelosi to go overseas and have a fanciful trip for all we know. In the final minute before we go to break, I got to also mention we got Michael Cohen coming out this week, and there's going to be some development there. Donald Trump's former lawyer says that Trump told him to lie. Casey's pulled up some stuff that says, you know, he wasn't told to lie. It's been an interesting week, to say the least, Lynn, right?
It has, and as we go to break here, I want to make this point. With regard to this thing about Cohen, we cannot get giddy about anything that Mueller has come back and said in the form of a denial. Mueller parsed his words very, very carefully, and those of us on the right that want to see Donald Trump pull out of this thing, this investigation, unscathed, we'd better be careful. Mueller could be setting a trap.
Okay, good insight there from Lynn Woolley. Good to have you with us this weekend. Remember, Texas Insider Show every Saturday afternoon, sometime around the lunch hour, right here on Talk 1370. And when we come back from our first commercial break, we're going to dive into this government shutdown thing and what the back and forth between Pelosi and Trump means, and what the real insights behind it might be, right here on Talk 1370, The Right Choice. I'm Jim Cardle. We'll be right back.
About letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. Appreciate you joining us. We're here every Saturday afternoon, sometime around the 12 to 12:30 to 1:30 lunch hour, and as well, want you to check us out at texasinsider.org, where you can see 10 or 15 articles that we put up there every day, keeping you on the inside of Texas politics, national politics, as we like to say. You're either an insider or you're not, and you too can be a Texas insider by checking us out there. And also go on and be sure and check us out and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, where we got about 40,000 followers there. But we're joined today also by our friend Lynn Woolley. And Lynn, as we were talking before the break on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon here in lovely downtown Austin. I guess it's a little breezy, but a nice wintry day. We were talking about the Democrats declaring for presidency already. You know, the government shutdown continues. We've got to, of course, mention that President Trump's going to be making an announcement and having a bit of a speech, I guess, at 2 o'clock Central Time here, right here on Talk 1370. They'll be carrying the speech live. We've got William Barr trying to be confirmed for President Trump's attorney general up in Washington, D.C. We got the state legislature coming back. But most of all, I think the most entertaining but really kind of the important part, because here just today, this morning before going on the air, we've started to see both the Democrat left and the congressional Democrats coming forward saying, I think looking at the tube here during the break, is that the Democrats are going to be willing to add $1 billion, for half of it for some more judges and half of it to reinforce already existing security points that may have weakened. And Donald Trump, and, you know, he's got Vice President Pence and former Congressman Mulvaney going in there. But finally, we're starting to see some of this discussion that follows a week of Pelosi and Trump. Boy, talk about two equals going tit for tat. What's your read on it all? Are we going to see? Because that's how we ended the show last week, Lynn, as I asked you how you think things are perceived this week. Here we are.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that. If Pelosi and Schumer are going to come back to the table with a little bit of money for a few extra judges, I think that's an insult, a slap in the face to Trump. If I were Trump, I would not budge. He's asked for 5.7. I would say, here's my compromise, 5.7. And
really?
If you want to talk about it some more, 5.7. But I'm willing to give you something that you have promised your constituency and your base for the longest time, and that is a permanent fix to DACA. This is your chance. Trump,
listen,
say,
to the hard-nosed negotiator, Lynn Woolley, coming forth here.
Oh, my gosh, it's the art of the deal, Jim. Mm-hmm. If Trump's got to get that 5.7. And then I think at some point, he's going to work something out with Mexico. Either we withhold some foreign aid, or we put some kind of a tax on remittances from illegals when they send their money back to $7 billion back and say, hey, Mexico paid for it.
How about this? I mean, you're right. I think Donald Trump is going to, I mean, like I've said before, I'm trying to be as nonpartisan as possible, whether you're, you know, a progressive that was fighting for a Bernie Sanders, he defied all the odds during the presidential election, or whether you're a Donald Trump pragmatic who just is sick of Republicans, you got to look at the results. And Donald Trump has defied all odds, beaten every historic prognosticator's predictions, and turned them on their head. I'm not going to necessarily bet against Donald Trump, or I'm not going to bet against Donald Trump until I see him lose three or four or five times, like I've said before, not once or twice. And this one's beginning to get interesting, but you've had Nancy Pelosi, first of all, this week, and I want to get your read on this, Lynn, say that Donald Trump maybe shouldn't make a State of the Union address. And I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal here a couple days ago. She said, quote, "The date of the State of the Union is not a special date. It's not constitutionally required. It's not the president's birthday. It's not anything." Which is a little bit of a run-on sentence, or, you know, non-specific language. I think Nancy Pelosi saying, and this was mentioned in some of the analysis, what essentially she's saying is, look, Mr. President, because the government shut down, we can't secure the Capitol when you're going to come give the State of the Union. It's a dangerous thing. Maybe we should postpone the State of the Union. And I bet most Americans hear that and they're thinking, wait a minute, if they can't secure the stinking capital of the United States, how does she think we're going to believe this stuff that the border is secure and that we don't need more money for it? What's your thinking? Well, I'm going to let Lynn take a, he's kind of choking back and trying to decide what to say there. But folks, I think that is what it's coming down to as we go into this stage where evidently, and I'm glad to see it, frankly, where the parties are coming together, because whether, like I said, whether you're a left-leaning libertarian or liberal, or a right-leaning libertarian, you know, kind of the extremes, I think most Americans are wanting the Congress to come up. That's why they voted for Donald Trump 2 years ago. That's why they maybe pulled back and restored Nancy Pelosi back into the speakership here 2 months ago, is because they want, first of all, they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. They want politicians who are not going to simply pay them lip service, right, Lynn, who are mm-hmm. going to follow through and do their own and do what they said they're going to do and follow up on their own promises. But
Jim,
the State of the Union, you know, not being presented as being a safe place, I don't think makes Nancy Pelosi look very good.
No, I don't think it does either. Here's what I think Trump should do. I think he should announce that the State of the Union will go on the date that it is originally supposed to go on, and that he will move it from the Senate chamber to from the House chamber to the Senate chamber. Now, what that means is you've got about 100 spots in the Senate chamber. Mm-hmm. But remember, the Republicans control that. And then I would sit down with Mitch McConnell and I would say, OK, we're going to invite 100 people. So let's start. We'll invite the Supreme Court. We'll invite a few honored guests. And if we have 80 seats left in the Senate chamber, we'll invite Republican legislators, and Nancy Pelosi won't get an invitation. The networks would I have to cover it. I mean, what would they do? Or move it over to the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts or something, where there's a big auditorium or
I don't know, Lynn. We got to have somebody. And you know, you and Brian, our friend Brian Preston, were in here about a month ago, and we were talking about the fact that with Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, it might in fact be the case that Donald Trump had the opportunity to now look like he was the adult in the room.
Exactly.
But I don't know if he's going back and forth and moving, you know, a speech to the Senate or inviting only his friends. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be above. It's got to be presidential, where I think Nancy Pelosi is really, even though the press holds her up more than criticizes her and gives equal treatment to Pelosi and Trump, I think, and my point is, I really want to get you to think about this idea that the Capitol can't be secured and that maybe the State of the Union shouldn't happen because of the government shutdown leading to a less secure America. It just,
well, that's an interesting point if you want to do it to make a point. But Kirstjen Nielsen has already said there's zero problem with securing the House chamber for the State of the Union. Look, I mean, he could invite Nancy and Chuck, or Chuck, of course, is in the Senate, but he could invite Nancy. Think about why Nancy Pelosi does not want the State of the Union speech to be broadcast as usual. Well, it gives Donald Trump a stage for him to go out and make his points on all four major networks, all three of the cable networks, and several other networks that'll be in there. And it will be front page news the day before and for several days afterward until the news cycle changes. And she can't have that. She's got to stop him from having that forum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Lynn, we got to go to a commercial break here and have some news at the bottom of the hour. I'm sure we're going to hear during the news, and Casey's whispered in my ear, Lynn, here, that we've got now the president's official speech here, not at 2 o'clock this afternoon. They've now moved it to 3 o'clock. So those of you who are interested in a little cheap entertainment on Saturday afternoon, turn your TV in to 3 p.m. or here on Talk 1370, the right choice at 3 p.m. But Lynn, when we come back, I want to get into maybe not what is going on with the border wall and the government shutdown, but let's get into some of this Democrat presidential campaign already. And I don't think we can let it go that old Robert Mueller came to the rescue of Donald Trump yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, by saying something, or at least a couple liberals did, about Michael Cohen's comments about lying for President Donald Trump. We got to take a commercial break. We'll be right back after the news at the bottom of the hour on Talk 1370, The Right Choice. I'm Jim Cardle.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
There are lots and lots of people who have a political view and they don't like the president. And before that, some people didn't like Hillary Clinton. And they so badly want something to be true that's negative about the president that they sometimes don't take the necessary time to analyze, take a deep breath, see if it's been corroborated by other notable news sources, as well, and they don't parse things out. So they're sort of two categories of people that you can take fault with. Now, I don't know how much in the BuzzFeed story is false. I definitely credit anything that the special counsel's office says, and if they say the characterization is not completely correct, I believe that. So the press needs to take some responsibility, in this case, in the form of BuzzFeed News. But then there were tens of thousands of other people, most notably politicians, who decided to spring on top of this, I think prematurely and excessively, in a way that they didn't have to do. Like, you know, none of this is going away. The special counsel is going to have a report coming out in due time. As Jeff pointed out, there's going to be a hearing that will include Michael Cohen. You know, people can get a night's sleep before they start pounding on this in the way that they have. And I think that's just a good lesson for all of us to think about going forward.
Well, there's always two sides of the story. Good job there, Casey Johns, producing the show. And welcome back to today's issue of the Texas Insider Show with Jim Cardle and Lynn Woolley. And what Casey just played there, thank you for putting that together, guys behind the glass. What he played there was a news clip from last night of former New York District, Southern District of New York Judge Preet Bharara on CNN Anderson Cooper last night. And he is an adult coming to bring some reasoned and seasoned and measured adult conversation to which in this day and age is a back and forth of gut reaction, unsubstantiated claims. And here you've had special counsel Robert Mueller's office Friday issuing a rare public statement disputing this BuzzFeed news story, Lynn Woolley, about whether Donald Trump actually instructed Michael Cohen to lie or not. If a president or a candidate, a public official, instructs one of their subordinates to lie to investigators under oath, that puts you in obvious political jeopardy. But here we've got this former Democrat, former potential candidate for attorney general or for higher Supreme Court track type offices, Preet Bharara, because he was a Southern District of New York U.S. state's attorney from 2009 to 2017. What are you making of it all, Lynn?
It's interesting. The first comment
that's
I would
the
have
understatement.
On this,
yeah.
Well, I mean, Michael Cohen may be one of the great liars in American history. He's up there with Bill Clinton.
Well, that's not a bad point, at least the first.
And he's one of the great liars. And I've been watching House of Cards, and it's just so, seems so true to life. How many people, Jim, if you and I tried to do this, if we tried to sit down with a yellow pad and start writing down the lies regarding the Mueller investigation, going back to the Jim Comey days, and included people like Christopher Steele, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Mueller, Trump himself, Rudy Giuliani. Nobody in this has been a total bastion of veracity. But if you wanted to put the top liar in America right now involved in this Mueller case, I would put Cohen at the top of the list. The guy will say literally anything if it helps him out of some kind of a jam.
And again, what we're talking about here very specifically is that the BuzzFeed is a newer generation, very popular with some of the younger crowd. Some of us have dealt with it before. Others will know it with great familiarity. Someone even have heard of what BuzzFeed is, but it's a online growing news source that's got a great following and is often quoted in the national media, including, you know, reputable news sources like cable television, as if that's not a redundant phrase right there. We'll talk about that in a different conversation. But BuzzFeed came out with a story a couple days ago and says that they have confirmed and they have evidence that Donald Trump specifically told his attorney, Michael Cohen, to lie under congressional testimony. That would be a big no-no. And who of all people comes out and says, no, that didn't happen, that can't be an accurate statement, but the But the one and only source that the left has held up for 2 years now to be the end-all to be-all, although he's dragging his feet and not been able to come out with a report yet, is Special Investigator Robert Mueller. It seems like just a Hollywood movie unfolding before our eyes where the guy who's supposed to be your enemy is now becoming your hero. And in the middle of it, Lynn, you're right. You've got a bunch of kind of questionable characters, I guess, is a way to...
Yeah, I don't trust Mueller. Understand that he never said that this was not correct. He said that this BuzzFeed story contained inaccuracies.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why it bothers me just a little bit. I want to make sure that what... I wish he had been unambiguous and said the BuzzFeed story is not true. But he didn't say that. He simply came out and said that it was not accurate. He didn't say it wasn't totally untrue. I don't know. You go back and you look at General Flynn and people like that.
I mean, I got to interrupt you right there. You make me think about defining what the word is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think what he's saying is that it's not accurate. It's not true. And
I hope that's right.
And I'm just going to leave it at that. But let's, if I can, because we got a couple more things to talk about here, Lynn, before we go to our last break. But and speaking of things that are accurate, I was pleasantly surprised this week in seeing a guy who seemed to be saying accurate things in an accurate manner with a adult disposition, and that is the Attorney General hearings this week for former Attorney General William Barr, who's been nominated by President Trump to replace Attorney General Sessions. And it's been pretty interesting, has it not, that Democrats, you know, were a little bit anticipated by some to be ready to take the gloves off to beat this guy up. Some of us will remember that William Barr was Attorney General as a young man, if he's in his mid-60s now. He was Attorney General under President George Herbert Walker Bush, who just passed away the other day. So that was back in the late 80s. He's known to be a good friend of Robert Mueller. Their wives are said to go, as a lot of our listeners will have heard, their wives are supposed to attend Bible study together. And I remember as a former Capitol Hill staffer, you had Bible study clubs left and right going on with spouses, and it was a great and popular thing and something that allowed some real interaction and some friendships to be built. But what are you making of this confirmation hearing of Attorney General nominee William Barr and the Democrats' seemingly reasonable behavior of this guy?
Yeah, I'm not a big Barr fan. No, he's a deep state guy. He was involved with Bill Clinton at some point and was kind of a fixer for H.W. Bush in the same way that Cohen was for Trump. But Trump doesn't seem to have a problem with that, and maybe that's what he wants. But Barr's going to say what he has to say to get nominated, because that's what everybody has to do. Even the Democrats, if Hillary Clinton were president and she had nominated somebody to replace Kennedy, that nominee would have said whatever it takes to get nominated, because everybody in Washington now knows that you cannot state your true mind in Washington anymore.
Yeah, but Lynn, I totally agree with you. That is just the state of politics these days, where you've got to be made an example of, and the way to not be made an example of is to have a very non-exciting sidestep move that looks like you're but what I'm talking about is just the entire process of having somebody here. This hearing seems to not be that. There haven't been any real zingers thrown at him. He hasn't been asked, you know, to answer a question that's built on false pretenses per se, and he hasn't been disingenuous in his responses as far as I've
seen. Well, but here's the thing. These statements that Barr is making, saying that he will not interfere with Mueller, he will not fire Mueller. He will completely stay out of Mueller's way and all this. Suppose Mueller does something that the Attorney General should be overseeing. Barr's got to oversee Mueller. And if this is why conservatives didn't like Jeb Sessions, because he reneged on that, on his duties, so to speak. So what I'm saying is, if Barr wanted to get on my good side, he would have said, look, I'm not going to stop Mueller's investigation, but Mueller needs to stay within the bounds of what his investigation is supposed to be. And fishing expeditions will not be tolerated.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've got somebody who sure looks like a substantial, reasoned, and pretty wise choice as far as everything that I've been able to discern so far in President Donald Trump picking William Barr. We'll see where his confirmation for attorney general hearing goes. And then, Lynn, before we got a break here in a minute, I just got to give you the opportunity, because Michael Cohen's going to be in front of the House Judiciary, the House Intelligence Committee, in front of your friend Adam Shifty Schiff. What do you got for predictions on that coming up?
Schiff is just a typical politician that wants to be on TV. This guy doesn't want to be in committee meetings. He doesn't want to be in hearings. He wants to be on television. So if there's a hearing and it's televised, then Schiff is going to be there. This guy is a class 1A Trump hater. He's a left winger. He's part of this Trump resistance. And I don't put any stock in anything the guy ever says or does. It's all about Adam Schiff and what Adam Schiff can say or do.
Okay, well, we're going to be keeping an eye on that, that's for sure. We don't know when those hearings, at least I don't have it at my fingertips, but that'll be interesting. And we got to take a break. But, Lynn, when we come back, the final segment, I want to close out. The Democrats are all starting to run for office. We've got this beautiful platinum blonde, Kristen Gillibrand, now declaring this week. Kamala Harris declared. Julian Castro. They're coming out of the woodwork. Let's try and get a start on the 2020 Democrat presidential primary right after this, right here on Talk 1370, The Right Choice.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Rosenberg, H-Bomb, Sugar Ray, Panmunjom, John Randall, the King and I, and the Catcher in the Rye, Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen, Marciano, Liberace, Santayana, goodbye. We didn't start the fire. There was always burning since the world's been. Oh, good one there. Casey Johns behind the glass doing a little producing there. And Billy Joel from back in the day. We didn't start the fire, that's for darn sure, this weekend, folks. But we can talk about it a little bit, and appreciate you joining us while we do that on this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. We're here every Saturday afternoon from around 12 to 12:30 to 1:30, somewhere in that time frame, depending on how much time they afford us. And be sure and check us out on TexasInsider.org, where we post about 10 or 15 articles keeping you up to speed on what's gone on this week and what may be coming down the pipe in the coming weeks on national and local politics. We had I got to just congratulate again our friends here, Governor Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor, and Dennis Bond, and their big old soiree here Tuesday morning at about 10 o'clock this last week, and let the legislative games officially begin. The governor and lieutenant governor were officially sworn in, as they're required to be done after every 4 years of an election, and there was a bit of a gun salute. Some of you close enough may have heard that. And then, Casey, I should have alerted you to get some live TV footage here for the radio show when we had a
jet flyover rattled some windows down there. But they're starting the 140 days at the legislative level. And then at the national level, as I said before we went to the break, Lynn Woolley here in the final segment, we've got the beginnings of the Me Too movement coming to galvanization with Kamala Harris declaring for presidency this week. You've got Kirsten Gillibrand, a senator from New York. Kamala Harris is from California. And Kirsten Gillibrand's already run over to Iowa. There, I wouldn't know, were reports last week. Pocahontas is, she's referred to every now and then. Senator Elizabeth Warren from the state of Massachusetts, which somebody was telling me this week has never elected a president since the Kennedys and probably won't be able to still, whether you're Mitt Romney, a former governor of Massachusetts as a Republican, or Michael Dukakis and the like on the left. But what have you got to make, Lynn? We're starting to see the presidential games begin. People declare in different ways these days than they used to, because you've got Beto O'Rourke, as you referred to earlier in the show, doing the stinking streaming of his root canal or his dental exam. And then you've got the women coming out and say, you know, it's not about, here's my position and why Medicaid for all is better than Medicaid for only half of America. Now they're coming out and they're saying, vote for me because I can make the most interesting video where I, from on high, am talking to you down at the lower level on Vimeo. What's your take of the week's developments?
Well, my take is that they will begin dropping like flies fairly soon.
Dropping like flies? There's not enough of them. There's 37 to 57 candidates on the Democrat side.
But here's the thing. When there's 37 and the there's a certain amount of finite money that's going to be donated to these candidates, and those that are getting significant chunks of funding will be able to continue. But you know very well, you've got to have a bus.
Yeah.
You have to fly places.
Good point.
To provide food for your you've got to buy bumper stickers, you've got to buy signs. And when the money runs out,
it's a multi-million dollar.
Yeah. When the money runs out, there's nobody there. And why would the money run out? Well, you have, say, the caucuses in Iowa, and somebody doesn't do well, or you go on to a state like Ohio or Pennsylvania or something else, you don't get any traction. You reluctantly say, I have decided I want to spend more time with my family. That's what you say.
Yeah, but you know, Lynn Woolley, I got to interrupt. I know you're going somewhere with that, but I got to interrupt you because you, as usual, have hit the nail on the head. And we talked about this 3 weeks ago when Elizabeth Warren declared, because when Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, declared, was the first one out of the gate. She was the first one out of the gate, I think, for a very intentional reason and purpose. And that's why folks are Texas insiders that they listen to this show. She, in her announcement, came out and said that me and my followers and my campaign are going to return the American campaign to the grassroots. And what she said in no uncertain terms, although she did get into it specifically, she, like Beto O'Rourke, is not going to take PAC money. She, like Bernie Sanders, is only going to take $200 type and lower contributions. And the left is going to have, in the Democrat Party, they are posturing, even before they're posturing here and as declared candidates, for the you know, self-funded GoFundMe type campaign. And it's going to be fascinating to see play out what you just referred to about the money going away and how it goes away, because Bernie Sanders and Beto O'Rourke can send out an email and, you know, $10 to $25 million lands in their lap overnight. That's a substantial change in how presidential candidates run for office.
Well, a couple of things on that. If you go back and you really investigate Beto O'Rourke, I think you'll find he did take some PAC money. He did his best to hide it, but he took some PAC money.
Well, of course, you're a political candidate. You got to hide something. I mean,
you got to hide it.
I'm sorry.
But with regard to all these small donations, I don't think there's a way to police this yet. It's illegal for foreign people, as the Democrats keep yelling about Trump and Russia. It's illegal for foreigners to donate to the campaigns of American politicians. And yet when you're taking these $200 and $300 donations from the internet, they could be coming from anywhere in the world, including Russia.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about the way that people are having to announce these days? You know, they go on this little, I don't know what, if it's a rant that we saw Beto O'Rourke, but I tell you, for something that's fairly immature and non-presidential, and I don't know, you know, as a journalist, you're not supposed to use adjectives, but, you know, let's just say it's a stunt where he streamed something from his dental chair the other day. What are you thinking about all these different types of announcements, these different type of effort where candidates are trying to get out there and they're acting like, you know, a non-leader, I guess, is what it comes down to for me. I expect our elected officials, I can understand wanting to get down with the little guy and roll up your sleeves and take off your tie and show that you can relate to them. But there's a difference between doing something like that and doing something that shows that you're a little bit immature and just about me, I, me, myself, and I, is what I'm afraid we're going to start
Jim,
seeing.
It comes down to this. This is a new generation that you and I don't understand yet. It's like you and I trying to throw out the Beatles and the Beach Boys and try to figure out rap music. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
But you don't know where Beto O'Rourke or where he stands or what he would do about North Korea. You don't
exactly
know what he would do about really anything of any importance. You just know that he would stay in the Paris Climate Accord because
yep,
that's a left-wing thing. And you know that he's for Obamacare because that's a left-wing thing and he hates Trump. But what else do you know about him? You know that he can skateboard.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that he's got clean teeth.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know if this kind of thing will hold or not, but I hope we can get back to some presidential campaigns with some substance in them.
I mean, remember when you're saying they're this will certainly date me and us, and if not date us, put us into a weird, strange category of political scientists. But, you know, think about FDR and LBJ in the days of politicians in the smoke-filled rooms and having clean teeth and being able to skateboard these days just indicates how the process of running for office today, we're in the middle of a transformation and candidates adjusting to, it was one thing when it was newspapers and remember in the 1960s when President Kennedy and not yet President Kennedy and President Nixon had the first televised debate and it was a big, big deal. We could talk about that. Then there was cable news that came in the 80s and it wasn't just ABC, CBS and NBC and it was the cable news driven by ESPN. And here we are 30 years later that now we've got the internet. And
hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
Is there anything?
There you go. Good job, Casey. And the transformation, Lynn, is just something else. But what do you think as we're closing out the show here? Casey's whispering in my ear. We got 1 minute left. What's your prediction for progress on the budget shutdown this week?
I think Trump will come up with something substantive. I think Pelosi and Schumer will show up with something non-substantive that they know Trump will not do, but that they can use to go back to their base and say, here's what we offered him. It'll be something like $1 billion for more immigration judges.
So,
and Trump, I think we got another couple of weeks here before somebody cracks.
I was going to say, so a little bit more of the same. Well, folks, we appreciate you joining us for this week's edition of Texas Insider Show. Good job, Casey, behind the glass, and be sure and tune in this week while you're thinking about it, or if you think about Texas politics, to texasinsider.org, and then next Saturday right here on Talk 1370, The Right Choice, the Texas Insider Show with Jim Cardle. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Never a doubt. Trust me too true. In the beginning, I loved you right through. All the silly things we did. You made me promises.
answer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.